The more I do the work, the shadow work, the deeper, darker work, and the more I practice the courage and the vulnerability with myself to go into those domains, the ripple impact is felt, right? Like my family can feel something different about me. My team members can feel something different about me when I can show up and just hold a safe space and be calm and steady inside of different types of uncertainties. And so I just keep coming back to the most valuable thing we can do as human beings, especially if we have human beings that we love in our lives, is to do our deep work and to come back to the truth of love within ourselves and to integrate the masculine and the feminine within ourselves and to integrate all of the parts of us that we might be shunning, dismissing, throwing away, discarding, so that we can learn to hold love for the people in our lives.
Welcome to the Stay Grounded Podcast. I'm your host, Raj Jana, founder of Liberate, and it's my mission to help you become the most grounded, loving, and authentic version of yourself that you can be. Each week, I interview experts in the fields of mindset, spirituality, and emotional well-being. My brilliant guests share their tools, stories, and unique perspectives to help you develop the skills you need to show up fully for the people and things that matter most in your life. Now let's dive in.
Hey everyone, and welcome to this very special episode of Stay Grounded, March 2024's monthly reflection episode. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. My monthly reflection episodes are my favorite episodes to record. In these episodes, I do a look back on my month and examine all of the experiences I'm having, the highs, the lows, the triggers, the insights, and take all of that and zoom out to find the common threads, the lessons, and the principles that I'm going to carry forward with me into my life. My hope is that these principles can be applied by you in your own life to create more joy, meaning, connection, groundedness, and fulfillment. And this month was really special. In some ways, it felt like a bit of a graduation ceremony where I had some experiences that really helped me anchor in how far I've come. You know, this podcast has been a bit of a documentation of my life where I still have the first episodes that I released almost 6 years ago. And I can go back and listen to those episodes and just feel the difference, feel my toning and my and the pace of how I even speak. And so for this month, for me to have the experiences I had, which you'll hear more about on the episode, and for me to really ground and feel just, wow, like, yeah, I've come a long way. Was really meaningful and rewarding and a testament to what's actually possible for our relationships, for our work, for our own sense of self when we commit to looking at our patterns, really unraveling from the conditioning that we were raised with and commit to deeper and deeper levels of love within ourselves. So I hope this episode finds you well, and I hope you're having a beautiful start. Or I guess it's almost close to the end of April. But I hope you're having a beautiful year though so far, and I can't wait to hear your insights and takeaways from this episode. So without further ado, here is Reflections from the month of March. Enjoy. Yo, yo, what's up everyone? Welcome back to Stay Grounded with my dear friend, Georgina. Hello.
Hey, Raj. Good to see you again.
It's good to see you too. Epic quarter.
I know, I can't believe it's quarter already. Even that is like a bit freaky.
This is like the fastest year I think I've ever had in my life. It just feels, I take this, it feels slower because I feel like I'm more present. And because I'm more present, I feel like I'm experiencing more of my life. So I feel like there's a lot that's happening. I'm attuned to a lot more awareness. Like I can feel more. And when I zoom out, I'm like, holy crap, how did 3 months already passed by, and how am I already getting to the end of my Nosara chapter? I'm heading back to the States in a few weeks, and going to be heading to Boulder, Colorado, and it feels beautiful. Like transitions are beautiful, and it's like, wow, I can't believe it's already been a full season of healing and expansion and transformation and growth in Nosara, because I do feel like Nosara is where I come to, like, come back to myself. Like there's something about the jungles here and the oceans and the environment and the people that helped me really access parts of me that I haven't been able to access in the States. So feeling incredibly grateful for a very full month, a very full quarter, and an epic start to the year.
So what's pleasant for you now?
Whew, well, let's talk about March. I mean, March was just such a beautiful month. I mean, I really got to, I feel like this month was a bit of a graduation month for me, in that I got to experience just some deep, profound healing with my father, and in a way that I just have never have. I got to, let's just, I think coming back to why I do the work, right? Why do I commit myself to personal growth and development? Why am I committed to accessing different parts of me that are sticky, you know, whether it's my sexuality or, you know, we'll talk a little bit about this month, which was rage, or shame, which is something I've talked about on the show in the past, or fear, like all these shadow aspects of shadow emotions, shadow behaviors, shadow aspects of self, like why am I so passionate about going into these parts of me? Because I see the impact it has on my relationships. You know, the more I do the work, the shadow work, the deeper, darker work, and the more I practice the courage and the vulnerability with myself to go into those domains, the ripple impact is felt, right? Like my family can feel something different about me. My team members can feel something different about me when I can show up and just hold a safe space and be calm and steady inside of different types of uncertainties. And so I just keep coming back to the most valuable thing we can do as human beings, especially if we have human beings that we love in our lives, is to do our deep work and to come back to the truth of love within ourselves, and to integrate the masculine and the feminine within ourselves, and to integrate all of the parts of us that we might be shunning, dismissing, throwing away, discarding, so that we can learn to hold love for the people in our lives. And I feel like this month, that conversation, that concept has been really alive for me, has really been, the deeper I go into accessing my authenticity, it's hard to not rub up against, you know, anger or rage. And, you know, this was a big month of me really building deeper intimacy with unexpressed rage or anger. And not just from, you know, my life, but also, you know, my family's life, like the challenges that they experienced in their lives. And if they didn't have the courage, or if they didn't feel safe enough to, you know, express rage, it just lived in their body. And then when I was born, that got imprinted into my body. And so these emotions travel, traumas travel through generations, through lineages. And so one of the things I just have been really becoming intimate with this last month was just the nature of generational rage that's been living in my body, and becoming intimate with it and getting curious with my family around their lives and what they went through and what was their upbringing and what was their childhood, and then getting to channel that rage through me, which then in turn helps me love them deeper, hold better space, and so much more. So I said a lot there, but I'll let you kind of pick it apart and we can go in whatever direction feels useful.
Yeah, I'm curious to know what do you think is underneath rage? What is that as an emotion and an experience?
Yeah, so underneath, I would say underneath anger is actually grief. And unexpressed grief turns into rage. And unless we give ourselves the permission to fully, properly feel our grief, I do believe that it manifests as rage. And I don't think anger is bad. And I don't want to say, I think there's a difference between anger and rage. Like rage is like the unconscious, like nature of anger, right? Like anger is a beautiful thing. Anger can allow for boundaries to be set. Anger can allow for justice to be fought for. Anger can allow beautiful
transmissions and poetry and beauty and music and art to flow through. Anger can be a catalyst. Rage can be destructive. And, you know, one thing I'm learning to understand is when anger doesn't get expressed, it gets stored in the body as rage. And then that's what turns into unconscious triggers or that flowing into our relational dynamics, whether it's in the way that we talk to people, whether it's in the way we demand things, our expectations. And so all of our triggers on the surface, to me, have an underlying root of bound energy that lives in our body. And to me, that bound energy can express itself in a myriad of ways, right? It can express itself internally in the form of like shame, self-deprecation, inner critics, or externally in the form of rage, violence, abuse, verbal, physical, emotional, you name it, right? And so I do feel that, but underneath all of this is just an ocean of grief. And I feel like one of the most healthy ways to process these are through trusting our bodies. Like I for me, primal screaming is a fantastic tool. Like I really appreciate
what's that? Explain a little bit more about what that is.
Yeah, so primal screaming is like when I feel something bubbling up in my body, it's just like letting out like a big and I, you know, I and recently this month I had some really powerful experiences of doing that in a community setting. So it wasn't actually doing it by myself, which I've done in Nosara. Like I'll go out to the ocean and I'll just primal scream. And that's really powerful too. But there's something really, and I've talked about this on the podcast over and over again. I think doing the work in community, there's nothing faster. Like when you have other people holding you and giving you a safe space for you to express what you're truly feeling on the inside and you're being witnessed in it, it's like you're putting gasoline on your healing. It's literally going, it's accelerating so much that you would do in like just a conventional kind of like guarded setting. Like there's something about safety that unlocks unlimited potential with healing. And so primal screaming is just screaming, but there's also shaking, like, you know, just like moving your body and shaking. Like dance can be one of the most, like every Sunday I go into an ecstatic dance here in Nosara. And I just move my body. And in that movement, I'm just feeling energy unlock and just move through me. So like, these are all tools we can use to move, but also like just to me, the most powerful tool is just letting ourselves cry, which has a lot of layers to it, right? Because like, you have to feel safe to get there. Like, this is why, like, it's like, there's these deeper layers of grief that sit underneath, I think, all emotions, all shadow emotions to me. But to get to that layer, like we have to feel safe. And safety is practiced. You know, there's safety with self and then there's safety with others, right? And so I think safety with others is a, man, I mean, that's a whole podcast in itself. How do we build safety with others? It begins by learning to trust ourselves and advocate for ourselves and communicate our needs, even if they might upset others. Because when you do that, you're building trust with yourself. And when you're building trust with yourself, that's safe. That's intimacy. That's clarity. That's commitment. That's your inner self, whether it's an inner child or a higher self, which is, you know, you can channel God or whatever, like, these parts of you, like when you learn to, when you actually make the decision to honor these parts and truly treat them as sacred, sentient beings, like when you have a trigger or need showing up, like instead of dismissing it, but truly learning to listen and honor it, and then bring that energy of honoring into your relationships to ask for what you need. That's to me, what's building the safety to then really get to the deeper layers of healing that I think we're all craving as a society. Like, I really feel like this is something that, it's why I'm so passionate about this type of work, the shadow work, because I really feel like this is what we need as a society to really get to the next layer of prosperity. Otherwise, we're just gonna burn each other down on our way out, and it's and that doesn't feel good. So I have a lot of hope for us as a species. I want to say that. I don't feel like we're going in a negative direction. I feel like, but these types of conversations need to be had on how do we create safe spaces for each other to heal with one another and feel our anger and express our shame and be seen in our vulnerability and allow the messiness of healing. I think it's incredibly important.
So, I mean, imagine expressing rage, just thinking like what that might look like and what that might feel like. And I imagine it's pretty volatile, pretty, you know, it can be violent, it can be uncomfortable. How do you find or create a space, a safe space where you can give yourself full permission to kind of release that level of expression?
One is it's finding communities of people that are doing this type of work, right? So we have the communities at Liberate. If anybody's interested, you could go check that out. There's lots of men's groups and women's circles as well. I mean, AA is one of the best examples of this, Alcoholics Anonymous, right? Like Alcoholics Anonymous kind of pioneered this concept of creating a safe space to talk about the things that you are ashamed of and doing it in community and having accountability, right? Like, so I think it's like one, like having other people that are going through similar challenges to you is like the first step. Like if I have rage, deep masculine rage, like I have men in my life that I go to hold a safe space. Actually, in fact, a lot of my challenges in my last relationship came from me bringing stuff that I probably should have been taking into a men's group to my partner. Because she wasn't, it's like there's deeper traumas, there's deeper stuff, and there's deeper work that has to be done by ourselves, deeper work that needs to be done in communities. And then there's the work that we can do with our partners and our families. And having the awareness of this and knowing that these are tools that we need to have around us in order for us to truly thrive is, I think, the first step, right? So it's knowing that, like knowing what to bring to whom is, I think, the first step of creating safety. And really having a community, again, a community to ask these types of questions with. Like, I just feel very, like, over the years, like, that's been my, I will say this again, again and again and again. We do not heal alone. We heal in tribes. We do. And this is central to everything. Support tribes, people to mirror back where you're stuck, where your blind spots are, how to move through things. And so I think that's the first step, is just knowing what to bring to whom, and finding people that are similar to you. I think that's the first step to really building the safety necessary. What was the rest of your question? Did I answer your question, or was there something else that you brought up?
No, I think, you know, this is a good thing to explore, because, you know, I was just expressing how I feel that untapped rage can be violent and, you know, dangerous if it's expressed in the wrong places. So, you know, what you're saying here about finding like the right people to be authentic with those emotions. So what are some of your tests or some of your methods for finding the right spaces for some of the more of the shadow emotions that we need to release?
I mean, this is where, like, I mean, if you're a man, finding a men's group, right? Like, and truly, like, I might even take an effort to put aside like a resource. Like, here's a bunch of great men's resources. Here's a bunch of great women's resources. Like, there's fantastic books on masculinity that can open up a whole world of learning. There's many teachers on Instagram that create free content on doing the work in men and women groups. I think that's been my, like, I read books, right? So like for men, it was King, Warrior, Magician, Lover. It was The Way of the Superior Man. It was, I think it was like The Masculine in Relationship by G.S. Youngblood, Loren Krenn. You know, there's many teachers that I follow. John Wineland, who's a fantastic teacher for masculinity. I mean, these are all men that I learned from. I've read their books. I teach. So if you're a man, like, you know, just looking there and looking at the resources they create.
are really good resources. If you're a woman, I love Nina Lombardi. She's an incredible teacher. Alison Armstrong, she wrote a fantastic book on masculinity, actually. I mean, there's lots of resources. I could probably just go and create a whole resource list of masculine, feminine tools and places, but I think ultimately it's the practice of self-awareness that I'm really inviting here, right? Like it's the practice of emotional intelligence and awareness, right? So if you have emotions that you're uncomfortable experiencing, one, beginning the journey of understanding where they're coming from and why you have them is central, no matter if you're working in community or not, right? So like that self-awareness work is everything. I truly believe that self-awareness is the most important thing in society because unaware people hurt people. That's the bottom. Like I really believe that. And unconscious people hurt people. And so when we can inspire consciousness, when we can inspire awareness, I do believe, and when we learn to reconnect with our bodies and our emotions and our heart, that's when our humanity is unlocked. And that to me is the path. And so, this work of yeah, I think that's where I would begin. And also like, letting go. I think it's so important to allow ourselves to let go of the need to look a certain way or to be put together. Like, I can't tell you how many conversations I've had over the last 5 years that did not go the way I wanted them to go. Can't tell you how many times I came in fully prepared. I practiced, I got all the things, I read all the books, and then I came in and I said the wrong thing in the wrong way and it hurt somebody. That was a part of my healing. That was a part of me being okay with that and me learning the skill of repair. And so I think there's this idea that we're meant to be perfect in expressing our anger and expressing our rage. I think the first step is building awareness. So if I were to go to somebody and I needed to have a conversation with them that I knew was going to be triggering, I would come in and say, "Hey, I've been experiencing feelings within myself and I've done a lot of work to understand where they come from. I'd love to have a conversation with you. Do you have the space to hold, like, can you hold space for a conversation that might be a little triggering? Or should we organize this to happen at another time?" So, like, to me, those types of conversations, like checking in with somebody else's bandwidth, checking in if they have the ability to hold space for you. Now, these are all parts of relational relating that you don't learn until you just jump in. Right. So, like, you learn and you do this. And this is why, again, coming back to community, like, having a dojo where you can practice this type of stuff is super valuable. And I do have that for myself. And I encourage for everybody, to have that. Liberate offers that. These are places where you can really do this type of work and practice. But yeah, I mean, that was like the, if I had to come back to my monthly reflection, Georgina, like the first 2 weeks of the month were me having deep healing in community around my anger and my rage. And then directly the week after, me getting to be spending the weekend with my father. And because I had processed so much ancestral rage, like I literally was like feeling my dad's anger all around the unfairness of his life and how much hardship he's had to go through and how difficult of circumstances he's been dealt, both from childhood trauma and life trauma. And like, because I was able to empathize with that pain that existed within me and see my father through that light, like when I was with him, I got to love him in a way that I have never been able to love him.
How did that feel?
It felt like graduation. It truly, like, because 5 years ago, my dad and I couldn't be in a room together without wanting to rip each other's heads off. And now for me to hold such reverence for him and to really feel how much he deserves to rest as he gets older, and really feeling like a true honor for being his son, and a true empathy of understanding where he came from and why he is the way he is, and for me to really feel that with him has been such a gift. And it's a gift that I do not take for granted. And this is why I'm so grateful that my soul chose this path of awakening and unraveling, because I'm 32 and I get to have the rest of my life with my dad now. Like, and that to me feels like such a gift. And I feel like we don't have to wait until we lose our friends and our family in order to, to begin this journey of love. Like, we can learn to soften our egos. Like, my ego was so strong with my father. All I wanted to be was right. And that was coming from a hurt little child within me that didn't get his needs met. But when I really zoomed out and really looked at it, I was like, my dad loved me with everything in him. He loved me in the best way he knew how to. My father was beat when he was a child. And he made a promise to never touch a, to put a finger on my brother and I. Talk about not passing on generational trauma. That one act has led to so much confidence in my brother and I. And yes, did my dad, was he perfect? No. Did he say all the I love yous I needed in every moment I needed to hear it? No. But he did everything he could to not pass on units of pain. And I think that's a gift. And for me to zoom out, and I needed to process all the energy in my body in order, and I needed to empathize with the pain that I accumulated from his life, because his pain is my pain. The pain that my father and my mother did not experience and did not process fully in their lifetime is my pain. It lives in my body. And so when I can connect to that, not only am I healing myself and accessing deeper levels of liberation within myself, and emotional freedom within myself, and inner spaciousness within myself, but I'm actually giving them the same because of my interactions with them. And this is something I see over and over again. The more I come back to myself, the more the people around me shift. The more I need someone else to change, the more I actually need to change. And that's become abundantly clear that we're all just walking inside of a hall of mirrors where every single human being is just reflecting back a deeper unresolved pain within ourselves. And when we can take ownership of that, we unlock unlimited levels of freedom.
So how have things changed with your dad now for
Oh, we're
him?
great.
Has
He's.
he felt a difference in himself because of the healing that you've done?
I think so. I think so. I think my dad feels, yeah. I think he can, and it's an ongoing thing, right? It's not like it's a one-time thing. It's not like I just love him once. Like it's how I show up to the altar every single day. It's how do I show up to the relationship every single day? How do I show up to my team every single day? It's easy to have these glimpses of insight and inspiration after a journey or after a therapy session or after a big thing. But the integration is what matters. And so to me, it's more about how can I continue showing up for him? How can I continue showing up for the people in my life? How can I continue showing up with more and more love in my day-to-day interactions? And what does that look like? And what's stopping me from stepping into more and more love on a day-to-day basis? Can I examine those parts of me? And can I learn to love those parts of me? And can I learn to give myself the love that I've been seeking externally? So that I can show up unconditionally of service. And that is a part of my masculine development. I really feel like that's, when I, one of the most beautiful quotes that I think it was like a quote, a Sifaz quote. It was like, the most beautiful love is the love of the sun. Or so, actually, I'm gonna butcher this. I can't even say it, but it was something around like the love of the sun is unconditional. It just lights up the whole sky. It doesn't matter what's happening on Earth. The sun shows up every single day. And that's, to me, I've always looked at the sun as like the divine masculine. That's like Father Sky. It's like the father up in the sky. Within Mother Earth being Gaia and nature and all the nourishment, that's the divine feminine, the aliveness of the earth. And when I think about that unwavering nature, like how can the sun be unwavering? It's only if all of, like, there could, because the sun is the creator. It's like when we access that within ourselves, like we have so much to give, and there's not really anything we need when we can learn to access that within ourselves. And I think That was what I felt like I was able to access this month is I don't need anything from my dad. I just love him and I just wanted to pour love on him and I want to continue doing that. And am I going to be perfect? No. I'm going to fall short. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to say the wrong thing. I'm going to trigger him. And it isn't about me being perfect. It's about me showing up to the altar every single day with the prayer and trusting in the process of love and connection and intimacy. And letting that guide my life. And this includes intimacy with God, goddess, higher power. It's all the same, right? So, yeah.
Well, it sounds, it's a beautiful journey you've been on because, as you said, this has been a number of years in the making. You've been through almost this spiral of experience with all these different aspects of your life. So, what do you think is what has kept you so committed and so dedicated to this path of self-awareness that enables you to keep going, even when you think you're at the pinnacle, like something else opens up? How have you enabled the spiral to continue to unravel?
There's just a deep part of me that knows it's the right thing to do. Like I really just feel it. Like I feel it in my bones that the last few weeks of, so like the first half of the month was a lot of deep family healing and a lot of deep, amazing, like deeper rooting in that way. And then the second half of the month was like pure surrender. It's like the lunar eclipse happened, and then all of a sudden I was just like emotionally all over the place, like was feeling old triggers show up, was feeling a lot of change and challenge. And it was just like up until like in the last year, I really wasn't paying much attention to astrology. And now I'm like, what the heck is going on? Like, it's like things are just really lining up for me, at least personally. But I've just been feeling this confusion around why am I doing what I'm doing? That existential sort of question showed up for me. And in those moments where the question shows up, what I've learned is that the question is coming, like, who is asking the question? And so, even that question, like, it's like, who is asking the question that, why am I doing what I'm doing? Right. And that's my ego. My ego is asking the question. Why is my ego asking the question? What does my ego gain from me not becoming more and more aware? What does my ego gain from me not going deeper on my path? I don't know. It probably doesn't like change. Probably doesn't like the uncertainty of it. Probably doesn't like me having to potentially grow and evolve into new communities and new friends and like continue changing and evolving. There's probably insecurity around love and intimacy, around if I keep growing and changing, will I find a partner who can grow and change with me, alongside me? Like, so I what I noticed was the part of me that is resisting the growth has all of its stories and reasons why it's doing that. But the part of me that feels the most nourishment is the one that surrenders to the call anyways. And that nourishment, that aliveness, that deep connection to source, the feeling, the deep feeling that I have when I just pray and I just show up with the prayer and I just keep going and keep unraveling and keep marching onwards, that's the part of me that feels most like me. And I discover that part of me in challenge, in crisis, in hardship, in those moments of deep trigger. Like, those are the moments where I meet myself. And those are the moments where I feel so connected. And that connection, I think, is what I've been craving. It's what I want. It's what I desire. I keep thinking I want something with another person, but it's actually, I want this deep connection with myself. This deep relationship to higher power, to soul, to universe, like everything around me is just a conduit for me to experience more of that. And so the question, why am I so driven to experience more of myself? Well, the more I unravel, the more connected I feel to her, the capital H her. The more I come back to myself, the more I learn who I am, the more I unearth about me. the more directly in relationship I feel to some divine power that is well beyond anything I can comprehend or understand. And that feels like something worth pursuing. That feels like something worth putting in the effort to cultivate. Even as I say that, I just have this deep exhale of like, because I just feel like the more I surrender, the more I feel like life, I really feel like life can hold me.
What does that mean?
Like, it's like this, like when I surrender the parts of me that are not me, like the parts of me that are attached to outcomes, or the parts of me that like are trying to will my way to success, or the parts of me that need something to look a certain way, or the parts of me that it's like all these parts of me that are grasping on. When I let go of those parts, or when I become aware of those parts, and then I dismantle them, let go of them, allow them to fall away, allow them to be seen, allow them to crumble, allow the facade to fall, allow myself to fail, allow myself to crack, whatever wording we want to use. All I fall into is more love. And I have more love to give. I have more capacity I can hold for other people's pain and their suffering. I'm more inspired to build what I'm building, to be of service in the world, to do things that are hard. So my strength comes from my surrender. It doesn't come from my armor. It doesn't come from my boundaries. It comes from me accessing a level of embodiment that removes the need for boundaries altogether. It's like this level of true faith in the divine and orchestration of the universe so that I can walk with faith and not just faith, knowing that everything is going to be okay, that I'm on my path. I'm held, I'm supported, I'm loved. I am love at the end of the day. I know that sounded super meta, but I hope it kind of made sense. I it's hard for me sometimes to talk about this stuff because I feel like it's coming from such a deep place within me. This was my challenge after my Vipassana. Like, I couldn't actually convey what I feel, but now I'm starting to put more words to this, but it still doesn't hold a candle to what I actually feel is my prayer. Like, and I don't think it's meant to. I don't think, you know, if the div like the divine speaks through us. And maybe art is a better communication of the divine than words. Maybe poetry. Maybe this is why we have poetry. Maybe this is why we have art. Maybe this is why we have music to convey some of these deeper elements of divinity that I think the English language limits in many ways.
I think that'd be fair to say. Yep.
Yeah.
I'm curious to know, like, how do you know that you're on your path?
You're asking some big questions this month. me sit with that one for a second. How do I know that I'm on my path? It's just a feeling. It's a feeling of faith versus a feeling of confusion. Like I think when I'm in, well, for me, when I'm living in my values, I feel like I'm on my path. And ultimately, it's a feeling. Because when you feel like you're on your path, you still might not be on your path. But ultimately, what is the path? Because if you feel like you're on the right path and you end up with an obstacle or a roadblock, which then gives you certain lessons and insights and awarenesses that then put you on another path that is more in alignment with your quote unquote path. Was that detour you took actually not part of your path? So, like, when I think about the path, yes, in the beginning, it can be a very scenic route where we're taking big, windy roads
because it was necessary for us to do that to get the lessons. But the more we learn the lessons from our path, I believe that the more we can choose a path of less suffering. And maybe that's what you're asking, if I'm understanding the question. How do we choose a path of less suffering? Or how do we know? Is that more the question? Because ultimately, the path will bring light and dark until you learn the lessons, which then allow the path to not you. It allows you to not even need to ask that question because you're just living your life and you're learning what you're meant to learn, whether it's a failure or a success or an obstacle or a fast track. Like you're just living your life with the awareness that you can make choices in every single moment, and your choices are either going to be in alignment with your conscious self or they're going to be driven by an unconscious part of you that are there to teach you lessons. So I guess we're all on our path. The right path feels like a word. Right doesn't feel like the right word. Are we on a conscious path or an unconscious path? That feels more like a question that we can then do something about, as opposed to right and wrong. Because again, if I learned the lesson, it was the right path. If I don't get the lesson, then that was just a meaningless experience, and that doesn't feel like something that could lead to more nourishment, at least for me.
Yeah, I love the answer. So I'm curious to know when you're navigating your path, and like how have you learned to navigate the difference between, no, this is what I want to do, this is the way I want it to go, this is how it's going to turn out, versus time to move on, time to let go. How do you that tightrope?
It's a
If
hard
it is a
one.
tightrope.
I'm still figuring that out. How do you know when to fight for the things you want versus letting go? Gosh, there's a beautiful poem that I read today. I think that might really be nice to share. I'll read it out for everybody. I'm a lover, not a fighter. Because I love her, I won't fight her. But if I love her, should I fight for her? Because once she's gone, there is no more her.
Who wrote that?
Guy named Adam Roa. He was one of my first podcast guests, like back in like 2017. He's a poet on online and Instagram, and he's a friend of mine. And yeah, I read that quote today, and I was like, "Ooh, isn't that the ultimate question of how do you know?" And the question, the and this is truly where surrender and faith comes in. You don't. You all you can do is trust in what you're feeling in the moment and not make rash decisions. Right? Like just because you feel like running from something, don't run. Sit with that emotion. Examine the emotion. Examine what's causing you to want to quit or leave or let go or fight for something. You know, I fight for things that are truth. For me, in fact, you know, this last month, we had a partner of ours that came back and said, "Hey, like I want to go in a different direction." And when I was speaking to her and really connecting with her, she like it was like, "Oh yeah, like this is actually the direction we need to go in, or you need to go in." And every part, like maybe a few years ago, I would have like been so afraid of us not having that partnership, or that I would have tried to make it work. That's fighting for the wrong reasons, right? So like in that sense, it's like for me, the medicine should have been, all right, Raj, like, can you trust if this is her truth in just letting go? Right? But then if somebody comes back, let's say it's somebody you love, and somebody's trying to sabotage your relate, and that person's trying to sabotage your relationship with them because of their trauma or their shit, that would be something, then would be a reason that I fight. I would fight. I would challenge them and be like, "Are you sure?
Are you sure this isn't just that thing that you're doing or that thing you always do? And I'll fight for it. Until fighting doesn't get listened to, and then I'll walk. Right? So I think it is like, to me, coming back to truth, the capital T truth, and learning to connect to the truth within yourself so that you can catch the truth in your relationships, in your experiences. Because this is the thing, like, you know, there's so many, like, there are a lot of examples of, at least in my life, of me walking away from things that I thought I wanted, that I thought were best for me, that, and it was one of the most terrifying things I've ever done in many ways, was walking away from some of the human beings in my life that I chose to walk away from. And when I zoom out, doing that was also one of the most healing things for me. It was the truth, because the thing that would have kept me in those spaces, in those relationships, was fear. And the opposite of fear is love. And truth and love are in some ways the same thing. They're the exact same thing. So I think in that question, coming back to connecting to truth and love within yourself, and then holding the people in your life and the opportunities in your life to that same candle. And if you keep optimizing your life for truth and love, you're on your path. And even if you don't optimize your life for truth and love, you're on your path. This is the thing. Like, either way, you're on your path. What I find is, for those that are on an awakening path, on a conscious journey of wanting to live a very authentic, expressed, fulfilled, connected, aligned life that has the highest likelihood of having infinite levels of joy, abundance. To me, like, there's a lot of upside to living this conscious path, even though it does bring up a lot of shit. But to get there, I do believe you must optimize for truth and love. Even, and if that means having the hard conversation or walking away from something or sticking in something, that's what that means. But no one knows that unless it's, except for you.
So when you think about Raj this time last month when we had our conversation, when you think about Raj now, like what has been that leap?
Yeah, I think this month I really learned to access, and this is something I've been kind of leaning more into it. I believe in kind of a rite of passage, and I believe we as a society actually just don't really revere rite of passage. Like, there's no, like, if you think about, like, just cultures and religions, like, there've been, even in religion, like, just like the bar mitzvahs, and like there's these, like, traditional pathways to celebrate boys becoming teenagers, teenagers becoming young men becoming adults, adults becoming elders. I feel like we as a society just don't have a good structure right now to honor these rite of passages that are happening in the natural world. And I feel like this last month, and as a result, we have to give ourselves rite of passages, whether it's in the form of psychedelics, or whether it's in the form of doing hard things, or whether it's in the form of, you know, breakups. I mean, all of these initiations are into, you know, initiations to come into more of ourselves. And I feel like this last month, just some of the experiences I had with my dad really helped me, like, step into a new level of, like, I got to access my inner father in a really beautiful way. Got to hold my dad's little child in a beautiful way. Got to hold, and I have been really craving to access more of my inner father, and, like, really access more that, just more of the king archetype, I'd say, in my life. And just stepping into more of that this month has been a really big gift for myself. And I do feel like I attended some sort of a graduation ceremony, that doesn't fully get celebrated in society, so I'm celebrating it for myself. So I'm very proud of myself for all the work I've put in to show up fully for the people in my life, and I'm very excited about how I continue to unravel into more Raj, because seemingly so, the more I unravel into myself, the more people benefit in my life and the more the world benefits. And so I see no greater service that I could be doing for others than to continue doing my work. And so I think just a reaffirmation of that this month and a recommitment to my vows to continue being, to continue doing my work so that I can be the most authentic embodiment of myself, which is naturally more loving, more kind, more compassionate, more clear, strong, decisive, visionary, capable, committed. I mean, I truly feel like when I'm in my most authentic embodiment, these are the natural expressions of me that flow through. So just a recommitment to that path. I think over the, like I said, last few weeks, it was just like, I mean, like, why am I doing this? Where am I going? What's the point of all this? What's the point of all this work if you're still gonna get freaking triggered when there's, like, what's the point? Why are you doing this? It's literally like you're rubbing up. And no, there's a reason. It's so I can surrender deeper and access even more. Because God wouldn't put you, or the universe, whatever you believe in, wouldn't put you into the wolf pen and wouldn't give you the capacity to feel big emotions if he or she didn't feel like you had a wolf in you too. Like if he or she didn't feel or believe that you were meant to experience something great. So just connecting back to that purpose has been a really big theme for me, right? At least right now, I'm really connecting to that and excited for how that gets to express in the next quarter.
Yeah, so as you like stand on this precipice now for the next quarter unfolding, what do you see are the possibilities given who you've become so far?
I mean, I'm in straight build mode right now. Like, I'm building an epic company that's helping a lot of people. And so I feel like the more capacity I unlock in myself, the more I can build, the more I can push, the more I can do. So I'm excited. I don't know what's going to come, but I also have a good idea of what's going to come. Like, just more abundance, more manifestation, more creation, more partnerships, more healing, more intimacy, more play, more enthusiasm, more excitement, just more of all of it. And if it's anything other than the things I mentioned, that's perfectly okay too, because I am fully excited and equipped to experience the full range of my life. So, woohoo!
What would you like to say to March 2024?
Thank you, Nasara. Thank you, Mother Earth. Thank you to all the beautiful angels that continue showing up in my life and continue showing me who I am. Thank you to my teachers. Thank you to my team, my friends. Thank you to my family. Thank you to my father for sacrificing so much of his own joy so that me, my brother, my mom could have the life that we have. Thank you to all of my friends in Osara that helped love on my dad this month when he was in Osara. Just pure thank you. I think that's all I have to, and thank you to just a higher power for continuing to open me up into greater and greater levels of service, and connection and love. I'm so grateful.
Well, I think that's a perfect place to end this episode.
Yeah. Thanks, Georgina. Thank you for holding a really beautiful, loving, present presence for us to have conversations about what's present. I very much appreciate you. And everybody, that's a wrap for this week's episode of Stay Grounded. I'm your host, Raj, and this is your old dear friend, Georgina. And from us, stay grounded. I'll chat very soon.
Thanks for tuning into this week's episode of Stay Grounded. No matter where you're from or what you're going through, I hope it helps you remember just how incredible you are and have always been. If you're on a path of emotional healing or self-discovery and would like to learn how Liberate can support your journey, head to www.rajana.com/liberate. That is LIBER8 to learn more about our current group programs and one-on-one offerings. I love you guys, and I'll see you next week.